your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
So, not to get ahead of ourselves a little bit here, but, you know, that's somewhat what we do. It's really more my fault than it is anybody else's. But Tuesday, you'll be at Abilene Christian, so you'll probably go up the day of the game. I was thinking, if you went up Monday, you should take your solar eclipse sunglasses with you, and then kind of do looky-loos out the window to see if you could see it start to close up on you, because you'll be close to the line. There'll be parts of Dallas that will be under the total eclipse of the sun. Didn't know if you wanted to go ahead and just kind of drive on in, then you could drive back to Abilene for your baseball game on Tuesday if you...
That's actually the plan.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. I was thinking that you might be involved in something like that, that maybe you would kind of go ahead and just drive on into McKinney, mm-hmm. go to a park, you know. I've got an extra pair of glasses if you'd like.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I do. And I'd give them to you, so if you could see the total eclipse of the sun if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
But you may not like that. 6:33 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Go to TT973.com for that, or the mobile app. I don't know if this is a compliment or not. This is from Mark H. Chuck is consistent. He never disappoints. It doesn't quite sound like a compliment, but it's like...
you said you never disappointed.
I never disappoint. Okay, no. That's good. Well, I'm going to take that as a compliment, because, I mean, mm-hmm. I could use one or two. I had a rough day yesterday.
I'm a constant disappointment, so yeah, I would take that as a compliment.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, with regard to Devin Cambridge, somebody says, well, the AJ reported he never was in the portal to begin with. He wasn't in the portal, but he said he was going to go to the portal with one guy who said he had talked to him, and then another guy, then that same guy yesterday on, and it's a pretty reputable site for, you know, the portal and college basketball. So, you know, yeah, I mean, you have to file some paperwork probably to put yourself officially in the portal, and and maybe he kind of dipped his toe in to see if anybody was interested. And if nobody was interested, like, oh, man, maybe I got a pretty good deal here.
So what it sounds like to me, which is I'm happy to hear that this was more, if there was some talk about him going, it was his decision more than Tech saying, hey, we don't want you. That makes me happy.
That kind of sounds like it. Yeah. And maybe he, like I said, maybe he thought there was maybe an opportunity out there with somebody else that didn't necessarily pan out for whatever reason.
Or maybe he just said he was considering it.
Yeah.
That led to, is expected to, or something. Who knows?
Yeah. It's speculation and all those kinds of things. There's a job opening this morning at the University of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
So Eric Musselman has left Arkansas. He's going to be the new head coach at USC. He'll replace Andy Enfield, who left USC to go to SMU.
Okay.
Some little musical chairs going on there. So now the speculation is who gets the Arkansas job. And it's attractive because, you know, it's in the SEC, they've won before, and they've got a pretty good support from NIL money. And for Eric Musselman, it gets him kind of closer to his roots. He's a West Coast guy, you know, coached at Nevada, went to the University of San Diego. His dad was an NBA coach. He's been literally everywhere. So Eric Musselman's a guy that's never gotten used to a house, I don't think. I mean, he's used to kind of moving around a little bit. But this job, the USC job, probably is one he looks at and goes, I think I can win from there.
Okay.
Maybe win big from there.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
Heading to the Big Ten now.
Yeah, right. right.
Like I said yesterday, or I don't know, maybe 2 days ago when we heard his name rumored there, maybe he just loves to travel because they're going to get to travel a lot playing in the Big Ten from, you know, California.
Yeah, Right, right. Hey, speaking of travel, and I know that you were concerned about this, but the University of Connecticut has landed at the Final Four.
And that's good news. We're going to need them there.
They are there. Coach Dan Hurley said that that after having some, you know, trouble and then a couple hours to sleep and reflect on it, that the Huskies are, quote, past it and lucky to be here. They didn't get into Phoenix until 3:15 their time on Thursday, which was several hours after they were expected to land after some mechanical issues and flight delays because of pilots, you know, running out of time to fly, et cetera, et cetera. He said, it was nice, a lot of thoughts, because I've had a lot of time to think of in just a stationary situation. I think what goes through your mind once you're done that kind of, once you're done kind of complaining and cursing and muttering, you just start saying to yourself, you don't deserve to show such entitlement, such an honor to get a chance, once in a lifetime experience, to play in a Final Four, coach in a Final Four. Once that edge wore off, it was, we're lucky to be here. We're lucky to get an opportunity to come play in the Final Four. Who doesn't deal with problems with the airlines? But it sucked. But, you know, good for him for kind of having a little self-awareness there.
Yeah.
You know, hey, it's, you know, we're good. They've got a really good basketball team.
They do.
I mean, that's a really, really good basketball team. So we'll see. We'll see what transpires tomorrow. Do you have, you know, we'll make predictions in a couple hours, but do you have anybody that, are you rooting for anybody this weekend to win? Like you can go, oh, I'd really like to see Alabama and North Carolina State, or I'd like to see UConn, Purdue, or who are you rooting for?
Probably Purdue.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that to irritate me?
You've been pretty harsh on them, so it's fun. But
okay. Okay.
Yeah. I really don't have that strong of a rooting interest. I hope they're good games.
Yeah. The tip time for the first game is at 5:09, and the tip time for the second game is at 7:49. Second game is number 4 Alabama against UConn, and then the first game is North Carolina State and Purdue. So I'm fine with UConn winning. I mean, I kind of like Dan Hurley. You know,
I think I would be fine with any of the four.
Okay. Do you have an opinion on the women's side at all? That's that Final Four starts tonight. It features North Carolina State and South Carolina, mm-hmm. and then UConn and Iowa.
Probably I'm rooting for UConn and NC State to make it to the championship.
Okay. That would make for, and maybe we could have that same thing in the men's side. Wouldn't that be a cool
thing? Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd be good with that.
Yeah, okay.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Morning on the Morning Drive, fifth day of April 2024. With this day in sports history, here's Jeff McGuire.
Going to start in 1934. Baseball superstar Babe Ruth agrees to do 3 15-minute broadcasts a week over NBC for a fee of $39,000 for 13 weeks. While that is a lot of money, especially back in those days, that's $4,000 more than he would be making from the New York Yankees.
Wow.
So who was Babe Ruth really working for? No, I'm kidding. 1946. The 100th Grand National took place. Captain Robert Petrie wins aboard the 25-1 shot Lovely College. The first true Grand National since 1940 due to World War II, and the last on a Friday. 1959, the 23rd U.S. Masters Tournament took place at Augusta National. Art Wall Jr. wins by one stroke over Kerry Mitkoff for his only PGA Tour major victory. 1983, New York Met Tom Seaver sets a record with his 14th opening day assignment.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
1989, Los Angeles Dodgers' Oral Hershiser's consecutive scoreless streak of 59 innings comes to an end. 1998, Arizona Diamondbacks record their very first win in team history with a 3-2 victory over the San Francisco Giants in Phoenix, Arizona. And the second worst start ever, 0-5, by an expansion team. And in 2009, Scotty Lejeune and Jeremy Mayo each homer and hit three and have three RBI as Texas Tech wins to take the series from number 11 Texas A&M 10-6.
Let's go.
That's what we're talking about. Winning series.
Especially over the Aggies, who were in the top 15 at that point. Happy Caramel Day, or Caramel Day, depending on which way you want to go. And National Raisin and Spice Bar Day.
Are you a caramel or a caramel guy?
Whichever one you're going to hand me.
I mean, I have no issues with either on this one. I think I say caramel. I don't know. Maybe I say it differently depending on what it is. Like the little squares to me are caramel. Okay, but like when you talk about what's inside certain candy bars,
caramel.
I think I probably say caramel.
If you are like the covering on Cracker Jack. Caramel.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. Like the little soft chewy things that that's where all that goes. Man, so I'm for whichever one you're hating.
Caramel, California.
Well, I've never been there, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd have to ask them how they say it there.
But it's the caramel cup.
No, it should be the caramel cup.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's Caramel, California.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's near Pebble Beach.
Forgive me if I don't trust everything Chuck says.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Happy birthday to Haley Atwell, who's 42. Christopher Reed, we know him better as the duo of Kid and Play. Half of the duo of Kid and Play is 60.
I thought you were going to go Superman there, but that's Christopher Reeves, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Oliver Luck, as we all know, famous for being. Why am I blanking on his name all the time?
Andrew.
Andrew's dad, yes, is 64. And Steven Jackson is 46. And George Washington exercises the very first presidential veto of a Congress bill today in 1792. The bill introduced a new plan for dividing seats in the House of Representatives that would have increased the amount of states seats for the northern states. After consulting with his politically divided and contentious cabinet, Washington, who came from the southern state of Virginia, ultimately decided that the plan was unconstitutional because in providing for the additional representatives of some of the states, it would have also introduced a number of representatives higher than was prescribed by the Constitution. The representatives could have tried to overrule the veto with a 2/3 vote. Congress instead threw out the original bill and instituted a new one that appropriated representation to the ratio of one for every 3,300 persons in respective states. And that is This Day in Sports History.
All right, This Day in Sports History, 6:51 this morning here on the Morning Drive. I was really curious about this, and I'm sure there's some kind of a financial reason behind it, but you know, the other day, the Houston Texans traded for Stephon Diggs. And now what they've done is they've wiped out, and maybe this was a condition of the trade, they've wiped out the final 3 years on his contract. So he becomes a free agent at the end of this year. And so they've also taken $3.5 million that was guaranteed to him next year and put it into this year. So he's guaranteed $22.52 million in guaranteed money in 2024. Now, the Texans got him on Wednesday. They sent a 2025 second-round pick to that they'd gotten from the Vikings to Buffalo. They also get two additional draft picks, a 2024 sixth-round pick and a 2025 fifth-round pick. The Texans acquired that 2025 second-round pick from the Vikings when they traded their 2024 first-round pick to Minnesota last month. So at the end of the day, they're basically getting him for a year. Now, they can sign him as a free agent if it all works out for both sides.
Sure.
So But you're not necessarily sorry to see him leave the Buffalo Bills, are you?
I'm thrilled.
Okay.
Thrilled.
But you're disappointed because you enjoyed watching the Texans last year in their style of play.
Yeah, they were a fun team to root for. They were, I mean, a young team and a new coach, and it was cool how quickly they kind of turned things around. And, yeah, it was fun. But then, so this offseason for them started by, I mean, even worse than adding Stephon Diggs, they went out and signed Joe Mixon, okay, who's, you know, needless to say, had some issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one big one there at Oklahoma. We're like, hey, that's the character we want adding to our roster. And then you bring in Stephon Diggs, who's not done anything like what Joe Mixon's done. But I think he's I think he was a major issue, major chemistry problem, major cancer in Buffalo the last couple of seasons. That being said, I still think he's a talented guy. I don't really root for teams that I don't really like the characters.
Yeah,
or the lack of character.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've gone from, you know, really pulling for the Texans. They were fun this year, and feeling like that'll be a team I root for pretty hard against this year. So, sorry.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Good morning with Jamie Linton, Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us today on the Morning Drive. We'll have Red Raider Baseball on the air for you tonight. 6 o'clock is the warm-up show with Jamie and Jeff Haxton, and then 6:30 play-by-play from Dan Lawfield at Rip Griffin Park. The Red Raiders come in with a 5-7 mark in Big 12 play. Houston is 4-8 in Big 12 play. They're 16-12 overall. Texas Tech 21-9 overall. The Red Raiders will go with Ryan Free tonight on the hill. He is a left-hander. He's 3-0 with a 5.74 earned run average. Here is the skipper of the Red Raiders, Tim Tadlock, talking about Ryan Free adjusting to becoming a starting pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, so last week we kind of, again, just due to our travel last week, traveling the same days of game and everything, we made the adjustment at that point just for really in the best interest of everybody on the staff, and thought Free could go out and kind of be a opener for us, and I thought he handled it just fine. He started a lot of college baseball games in junior college, and I think he's plenty comfortable in that role, and look forward to watching him.
Well, what do you see from Ryan Free?
Well, let me say this. I thought it was interesting there that Coach Tadlock said he could be an opener for us. Not that he would handle being a starter or whatever. Almost as if they expected him to only go like 3 innings. You know, he ended up throwing 76 pitches in the game last Thursday, and he looked great. Gave up 2 runs and shouldn't have given up either one of them. Defense failed him miserably. I thought he looked great. Started rough. If I'm trying to remember, but I knew he walked or hit first batter or two. I'm trying to remember now. It was hit by pitch, walk, single, walk. Okay, to give up, but the single was a pop up that landed behind second base that somehow nobody could find in the sky.
Kind of lost in the sky. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a tough play, but anyway, shouldn't have given up that run in the first. But a little bit shaky early on, and then settled in and was really good until another defensive miscue in the fifth cost him another run, and that's when he came out of the game. But, Ryan's a guy. The interesting part is, you know, sometimes you talk about guys getting traded and they're struggling at one place, and then he goes to the next place and he does well, and you're like, oh, just change the scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ryan had been really good for you out of the bullpen early on in the season, and then his last 3 outings out of the bullpen had been a little bit rough. And I think there was a lot of bad luck involved there. And anyway, Coach Tadlock had talked about how difficult it would be. Hewer was expected to be the starter on Thursday, and how difficult it would be, you know, just for a young guy. You know, we're going to travel and play in the same day. Felt like Ryan, probably, who's a junior college guy who had played a couple years of junior college ball, like Coach Tadlock had talked about there, is a guy that probably did a lot more of the travel and play on the same day and all that kind of stuff. And so I think, you know, I thought it made a lot of sense. Plus, they had a lot of really good lefties in their lineup at UCF. So I thought it made a lot of sense to put the left-handed pitcher Ryan Free in there. I didn't see it coming. I didn't predict it or anything like that. But when it happened, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that was a smart move. And I thought he threw well. So I'm glad to see that he's back out there. I think it makes sense to move Kyle Robinson to Saturday for the reasons I told you guys earlier about the fact that, you know, he tends to go deeper into games, which means you need more bullpen arms on Friday and Sunday, and they can be guys that can be used both days. Okay, so that makes sense to have Ryan, who goes longer in the middle day, and we've seen that over the years in the Tadlock era, where they have usually, or maybe not usually, but I don't know, a good majority of the good portion of the time have used their best pitcher on Saturday. A lot of times. And so we're seeing that again now. That's kind of how it's working out right now. So I think it made a lot of sense for them to make the move that they made. You know, the question is, so Jack Washburn was not used last weekend at UCF, which kind of surprised me. I would have expected he would have, but then there was really never a spot for it. He didn't have to use a ton of pitchers because those were low-scoring, close games. And so he never was used. But then you ended up starting him on Monday against Stanford and looked good in those three innings of work, but came out after only three innings. So there's two possibilities there. One I don't like the thought of at all, which would be he came out because he was hurt. Or the other possibility is that he came out just because they want to use him out of the pen this weekend.
He threw 54 pitches against Stanford.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's relatively low. I mean, medium low number.
Yeah, no, that's a low enough number. That I mean, the first thing that I think of is that they probably just want to use him out of the pen this weekend, so they don't want him to throw 90 pitches or whatever. So that's my guess. I don't mean to cause alarm I just think that's the other possibility.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think it's that they want to use him out of the pen this weekend.
All right, a couple more things.
But you do have to factor in now that, I mean, you go five games last week.
Yeah.
Okay. Or excuse me, five games this week, and then you're going to go four games the next week, but then you're going to turn around and right again, you're going to play five games. So it's just an interesting stretch that this team is going through with a lot of games in a short amount of time.
All right, a couple more things from Coach Tadlock. One, he talks about how his team has developed so far this season.
Yeah, I think, I mean, anytime you're between game 20 and 30, I think you're going to roles are going to start being defined. Lineups are going to kind of start settling in. Guys that are competing to play each day, kind of there's a real clear-cut deal there. Like, you know, if somebody's going to jump in there and maybe a matchup deal. And so I think as you go, the game kind of tells you how they're growing. And you can – the numbers tell you and the games tell you. And so it's kind of a fun time of year.
So what do you take from that with what he had to say in terms of the numbers tell you how the game's kind of going kind of thing?
I think it's fun that he said it's kind of fun for him. I think what he said about the lineup is definitely being true. I can't see much of a change right now. I mean, as far as where guys are playing, I think Damian Bravo is your starting center fielder. I think it's going to stay that way. I think Drew Woodcox is going to stay your starting left fielder. I think your middle infield is going to stay the way it's been. I don't think Kevin Bazell is going to play third base very often. I know he did it once this week, but I mean, I think it's a possibility. You could see more of that unless Cade McKee gets the bat going, because Bazell can clearly handle himself at third base, and we know how good Dylan Maxey has been swinging the bat. Mm-hmm. So you don't mind getting him in the lineup as well. So it's almost a situation. But we also know that Bazell does a better job against teams that run, okay? He's the best receiver and thrower on the team as far as catchers go, so you like having him back there. So I think you'll see that sprinkled in with him playing some third base. The first base situation, I mean, just being honest, it looks like freshman Landon Stripling is more comfortable playing first base than Gavin Cash does. And so I think you'll see more of Stripling playing first base than Cash, to be honest. And so maybe that fluctuates a little bit. I don't know. But I think you'll still see Gavin in the lineup as the DH a bunch. I just don't know what the percentage will be, who's playing first base or not. But I think both of them will be rotating in there.
Do you think if Coach Tadlock...
And then the other one is right field with Washburn and Austin Green. I think that'll keep going back and forth as well.
Do you think if Coach Tadlock listened to this show on a regular basis and realized how much sense you make from a baseball standpoint, he may make you an offer as a senior advisor?
I think we have higher hopes for any advisors to the baseball
game. You know, maybe we ought to put Jamie in a role over here, give him an office and... Just go over there and plunk his brain.
No, go up in the booth and chit-chat with Hacks. And just bask in the glory of Hacks' greatness.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right. Gentlemen, we're going Red Raider football with today's.
Oh, okay.
And it's your always favorite two-parter. You get to be positive and you get to be negative.
Mm.
I want you to tell me the position group that you're most confident about heading into the 2024 season. And I want you to tell me the position group that you're most nervous about heading into 2024.
All right, maybe just, you know, right off the top of my head, I think if you'd asked me on Monday that question, I think I said, "Wow, pretty good. Feel pretty good about the quarterback spot." But now I feel nervous about the quarterback spot. I'm nervous about the quarterback position. I'm nervous that your quarterback's going to be healthy. Your starting quarterback, your QB1, the guy that you want starting on August 31st, is going to be 100% healthy and good to go and sturdy enough to go 12 games. I am classified nervous about that. What am I the most confident in? Man, that's a good question. That is a good question. A running back? I think I'm confident there. Taj Brooks. I like the fact that Cameron Valdez is coming back, and you've got some other guys in there. So I'm going to say I'm nervous about quarterback, confident about running back.
Chuck and I agree on one of those, and that would be the confidence in the running back. There is no group on campus in any sport I feel more confident about than the running back group at Texas Tech right now.
Wow.
Taj Brooks is back there. Cameron Valdez is back there. They have proven that they know how to, that those two guys can take care of business when it comes to running the football for Texas Tech. Complete confidence in what those two individuals do.
Okay, I think there's a rival. That would be the catcher position at Texas Tech.
Yes.
With those two guys.
Uh-huh. I would agree with Jamie. Yeah.
I'm not anti-catcher.
Yeah.
But they're not up for catcher of the year yet. Brooks was up for the running back of the year. They're not the top five catcher in college baseball.
Dazelle's been an All-American.
He has. And
Taj is not.
There's just an awful lot of faith I have in Taj Brooks.
I'm with you.
I'm praying at the altar of Taj Brooks here, okay?
Okay. Totally fair.
The one I'm most worried about, there's nothing this spring that they can show me or tell me or do that's going to make me feel better about it until we get into Big 12 play next year, and that's your defensive backs. Only because collectively you lost so much leadership.
Yep.
And talent, and I think you have pieces there that will make me feel better sooner rather than later, but it's still, you lost so much, I need to see all of that work out.
Okay. I would have thought even a week ago, Chuck, that your answer wouldn't have been the quarterback position, that it would have been the running back position. For the most confident.
Most confident, yeah.
I mean, even if Baron Morton is 100% healthy, I think we feel, yeah. Or I'll speak for myself.
There's,
I think,
some truth.
Taj Brooks is a higher level of running back compared to what Baron Morton is right now as quarterback.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Okay. But so I think you had the right answer with the running back, and obviously Jeff had it too. To me, that's probably that's a layup one. I mean, just but not just Taj, but also Cameron Valdez. So you have a guy that we all think highly of as his backup that can do different things for you as well. So those are that's the positive one for me. I think the negative one for me, and I just think you lost two great guys on the defensive line that played so many games, provided so much leadership, did so many good things for you that I think they're just going to be hard to replace. And so I'm nervous about the defensive line. I just haven't seen enough of anybody else to make me think, oh, they're just going to slide right into that role that those two guys did last year. And that defensive line is going to be great. And you're going to be able to get after the quarterback and all those things. So I would tell you I'm nervous about the defensive line.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think like you said, with what you had last year, the experience, the leadership, all those things, the culture that they developed internally within the team, that I mean, we only get to hear about it, you know, snippets of it, but I think those guys were, especially Tony Bradford, big part of those locker rooms. You know, in terms of guiding that team.
No question.
Just from what we've heard.
If we were to take the running back off the board for most faith in, who's your second group that you have the second most faith in on campus? For football, sorry.
You know, the linebacking core kind of came into my mind.
Yes, that's probably where I would go.
You know?
They had two really good ones, at least two.
Is that the end of the list, though, that you feel confident? Because I'm not, like, completely sold on the wide receivers yet.
No, I still feel confident in the quarterback position. I feel confident in the wide receivers, too. You've added great talent through the portal, I think, and two guys that I think will be really good. You bring back some guys that I think are solid. No superstars, but solid. And then you're adding a freshman to the mix that is one of the top, you know, wide receivers in the country. So it's hard for me to think that group of guys won't be good.
Yeah,
it was probably hard for me to think that group of guys last year wouldn't be good either. So
right, because we thought that was we were pretty confident about the wide receivers last year too.
But just because they were bad last year doesn't mean they're going to be bad this year.
They are.
True, they've got a whole year of experience now. They know what not to do.
Well, some of the ones that were the most bad are gone.
Sure.
So.
To quote you, and I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to just steal your line, but to quote you, they are allowed to get better.
They are.
They are allowed to get better.
Yeah. Again, the ones that I think were most frustrating for most of us are gone.
Yeah. This from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Running back most confident until proven otherwise, most nervous offensive line. I think that's fair, as Jeff said. Offensive line most confident. That's not good. No. I don't think that's the case. This with regard to Jamie's bask in the glory of Hax's greatness. You are pretty great yourself, JL. Always enjoy listening to you both. I agree. All right, so we'll get to some other thoughts here from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. But the boom, boom, boom is next, and then we'll get to some comments from Tim Tadlock at the top of the hour.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Winding down the week, or at least this portion of it here this morning on the Morning Drive. Kind of coasting into the weekend, kind of in that spot in April where you got to kind of put your nose to the grindstone a little bit. I noticed a lot of people out early this morning, so it wasn't bumper to bumper or anything like that, but I just noticed extra traffic.
I think I would agree with you.
You know,
I don't normally, but I agree with you now.
That there was some extra this morning?
Yeah. I felt like there were more people on the Marsh Drive this morning.
Yeah. So we'll have Red Raider baseball on the air for you tonight. Coach Tim Tadlock is the skipper of this team, as he has been for quite some time. Let me ask you a question. Does it? Because he talks a lot about playing the game the right way, and seems like a pretty level-headed, you know, person when it comes to kind of how he his approach to whether it's baseball or maybe even life in general. I don't know. I mean, he just seems, you know, steady Eddie. Does it somewhat surprise you that from a baseball philosophy standpoint, that his teams seem to rely more on the long ball than I'm not going to use the word small ball because that's a catchphrase right now. But I mean, whether it's finding ways to get people on base or moving them over or manufacturing runs or things like that, it almost seems like that's kind of opposite his personality to be more long ball oriented than small ball or manufactured runs kind of oriented.
I would say that it is opposite her personality. Obviously doesn't have a big personality as far as being loud and aggressive and outgoing or anything like that. But again, as far as if you're talking about teams sacrificing or doing those things, the numbers all point out to it being better to not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just the analytics?
Yeah, the analytics tell you not to. I think there are certain situations where you want to do it. I think guys that are struggling to hit the ball should do it more. You know, when you're talking about trying to bunt for a base hit or sacrificing those guys. If you have a hitter that's hitting, you know, that's swinging it well, I don't think you should be giving up outs with him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got guys that are having a hard time putting the ball in play and you got runners at first and second, I don't care if it's the first inning and there's nobody out, yeah, move them over. Move them over. I mean, to me, this, to a certain degree, that's like, you know, a guy who's struggling shooting from the outside, going to the basket and getting a couple of free throws, seeing the free throw go through or two, and you're like, okay, all right, so I did something positive there. I made a couple free throws, you know, and all of a sudden you start feeling better about things. I think a guy at the plate can do the same thing. If he's struggling hitting the ball and, you know, coach asks him to bunt, to lay down a bunt and sacrifice and move runners over every once in a while or whatever, he sees himself doing something positive. Hey, that was a good at-bat for me. I did my job, you know, and maybe that takes a little pressure off. Again, I don't think it cures all ills, but I don't think it's a bad thing either. I'm not into giving up too many outs. I'm just saying, you know, and I do think there's more talk than it needs to. I mean, this team runs a lot.
Yeah, okay. And you've heard you say that.
Yeah, this team runs a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if they're playing station to station or anything like that. What is happening is, you haven't been great at moving runners over once they get on base. And I don't think your strikeout numbers are through the roof compared to other years or anything like that. I think one thing is I think your walk numbers are down as a team. And so that factors into it, and you're not creating as much havoc on the base paths. And then I think you haven't been great at situational baseball. And by that, I mean, it's not been the problem of runners at third and you don't get them home. I mean, we've seen that a few times. Don't get me wrong. With less than two outs, not, you know, you just get a fly ball or, you know, get the ball in the infield and they score. We've seen that a few times, yes. And it cost you big time against UCF on Thursday night when you had bases loaded, nobody out, and you didn't get a run home. Okay? That cost you, no question. But it's been more like getting the leadoff guy on base, but then he doesn't move. You know, you would love for that first guy to somehow get, even if he's grounding out, he's flying out, whatever.
Get to second base somehow.
Somehow gets him to second base, so a pitcher feels a little bit more pressure, right? Because he's got a man in scoring position. He's got a guy that, hey, man, if I mess up once here, that they could get a run off of this. And I feel like you haven't been good at advancing the runners, which helps you put pressure on pitchers. Because I firmly believe that pitches thrown in a close game with men in scoring position factor in more than pitches thrown when you're up six in the fourth inning because you don't feel pressure. Make pitchers feel pressure, okay? You make pitchers feel pressure by being ahead, okay? You make pitchers feel pressure by pitching in closer games, whatever, and you make them feel pressure by having guys in scoring position.
And doesn't that also hold true with the position players too? That they're going to feel some pressure. I mean, because they have to make a play, and if they don't make a play, then maybe bad things can happen too.
And I feel like there's been weekends where you've done a pretty good job of getting the leadoff man on base. He just he grabs a sandwich in a lawn chair and just hangs out over at first. Yeah, three batters later.
Sounds comfortable. That's not ideal.
Yes, that's not what we want.
Is that a lawn chair with the? Is that a lawn chair with the that extends out and becomes more of a lounge chair?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, so they lay back and
barbecue chips with that sandwich as well. Maybe
sure. Okay. I just feel like you haven't made the defense work hard enough. It's been lead off base runner, lazy fly ball, lazy fly ball, lazy fly ball.
All right, here's something from Coach Tim Tadlock. He was asked the other day, does he now know who this team is now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a team that really likes to play. They like to practice. Got a lot of passion for it, a lot of respect for it. And again, like this team from day one's shown a lot of passion to play the game the right way, and it's not that easy a game. I think they got a lot of respect for the difficulty.
Do you think by listening to that too, that this team maybe has put more pressure on itself than it needed to, and that's kind of built up over time a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, pressure is a good thing, right? That means a lot is expected of you.
It is. It can paralyze you, too, though, a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I think if guys are not putting pressure on themselves, that means that they don't care. And I think that's one thing that Coach Tadlock has said to me a couple different times this year about different players or the group as a whole is, you know, they care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that obviously that's a good thing. But maybe putting a little bit too much of that on themselves is accurate in what you're saying there, Chuck. And feeling the disappointment of not performing how they want to and letting it bring them down rather than maybe this team's not as good about, hey, just worry about the next pitch.
Yeah.
You know, or worry about the next at-bat.
You can only win one game today.
Yeah, worry about the next at-bat.
Yeah, yeah. 8:23 this morning here. On the morning drive, take your thoughts and comments. Yates Learning Center chat line. One more thing from Coach Tadlock. Here he talks about trying to make that right play.
Yeah, I think you're going to make mistakes. I think baseball players are going to make mistakes, and that's how you learn. That's how you get better. And we're going to keep running them out there as far as the guys you're talking about and the plays you're talking about. Again, like the challenge of this game mentally and physically, it presents itself. For nine innings, it presents itself daily. And again, like if there's not many guys that can take, you know, their skill set and their tools and go, hey, I'm going to go play 162 games at 18, 19, 20 years old. There's a few. These guys are trying to learn how to do that. And to me, the freedom to make some physical mistakes is going to always be there. The mental ones are probably the ones you want to clean up best you can moving forward. And make a physical mistake, being aggressive, you know, so be it. I mean, that's the game of baseball.
That's Coach Tim Tadlock. We'll have the game tonight at 6, Balls and Strikes at 6:30, Tech and Houston.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.